Jeremy Meeks.
I'm K. Edward Copeland.
And this is Preacher's Talk, a podcast for preachers and those who love preaching, brought to you by Simeon Trust and Nine Marks, striving for better preaching everywhere and healthier churches everywhere. You can find out about each of these organizations, the resources we provide at simeontrust.org and ninemarks.org. Leave us feedback. Love to hear from you. If you got a question you'd like us to answer, a topic you'd like us to cover, you can write us. Always love hearing from listeners at feedback@preacherstalk.org. And today, we're without Dave, sadly, but in the house, Kevin Walker.
Greetings. Hello.
Kevin, who are you?
Maybe most importantly today, I am a friend of Preacher's Talk.
Oh, that's good. Trying to get some brownie points early on.
I am the husband to Alyssa, father of Manny and Sayura, director of ministries at the Charles Simeon Trust, and on the pastoral staff at Holy Trinity Church in Chicago.
Man, that means Ed, that he's technically our boss.
Basically.
Yeah.
We don't have the Pope, we got the Archbishop.
Hey. So we better not mess this one up. Well, Kevin, thank you for joining us to talk about, you know, an important topic in preaching, and I think a woefully neglected topic in preaching, which is the topic of simplicity.
Oh, my goodness. Mm.
Simplicity. Ed, when you hear that term, simplicity in preaching, what comes to mind?
Be honest with you, when I hear the word simplicity in preaching, the first thing that comes to mind to me is clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Not simplistic preaching,
right?
In terms of something that lacks depth or lacks nuance or anything like that,
okay.
But more so something that is accessible because it's so clear.
Good. Kevin?
Yeah. Clarity was the exact word that came to my mind as well. Clarity of speech that's flowing from clarity of thought.
Yeah, that's good.
Understanding what we're trying to say and then expressing it in, again, I like your word, an accessible manner.
That's it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think I'd largely agree that it's not simplistic. I like that, Ed, because we're not talking about like dumbing sermons down.
No.
Or, you know, just maybe pitching it towards the lowest common denominator or something like that. But making this thing accessible and really simplifying without being simplistic what we're saying. So, okay, let's just have some time of honesty. Kevin, has simplicity always marked your preaching?
No.
Ed?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I wish I could say that since the day I was born, I've been a simple preacher.
No.
Okay, so Kevin, why not?
Oh, man, because I have so many good things to say. And in part of it, I think I've always thought that explaining, sharing so many of the good things I've found in my study,
right,
which is
right.
part of my training, my background in terms of thinking of exposition, that all of the things I want to say, I try to cram them all in.
That's it.
And so that's hindered the clarity of thinking, which then dominates and ruins clarity of expression.
Yeah. I can resonate with that. I think I want to be careful how I say this, but seminary, I had to recover from seminary because I gained a lot of sort of information, but early on in my preaching, I did not take the necessary step to, number one, bridle my ambition, bridle my tendency to want to prove that my church's efforts to get me to seminary and all that kind of stuff were fruitful to prove that, you know, I know something.
Yeah.
And I also did not take the necessary step to edit, to sort of condense, to sort of package what I had. I thought it was enough to get the information out. And even though I was trying to make an argument, I'm a lawyer by training, so I came in trying to make an argument.
Yeah.
But very often my arguments were so convoluted. They were so, they had so many rabbit trails or so many intricacies that no reasonable person could really follow all of what I was trying to get at, because I was trying to do too much because of those two things. Number one, my own heart's posture and the need to sort of prove myself, and at the same time, not taking the necessary step to recognize, okay, just because it's information, does it mean that it's accessible?
Right.
Because I haven't really thought through how it really ties down into my argument in ways that a person who really is not a Bible nerd would want to listen.
Right, right. So now, for those of you who might be listening to this going like, oh, that's why I didn't go to seminary, right? Because, you know, they should call it the cemetery, right?
Yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. Which, I mean, there's valid critiques there, but I'm a guy who never went to seminary. And I essentially had the same problem because while you, Ed, felt the need to prove that it was worth the investment, I had to prove that I didn't need it.
Right.
So I could read all the books and I could say all the things. And so I essentially preached with a chip on my shoulder.
Right.
Right. I like to call it, especially here in the Chicago course, like little boy syndrome.
Mm.
Right. I got to prove to you that I deserve to be here. And I'm going to do that by essentially ignoring simplicity for the sake of profundity.
Yeah.
Right. Like watch, kind of like you were saying, Kevin, like watch me put on display everything I know.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I know, the better.
Mm.
So, I mean, we're talking about this from a personal place, but let's get into this thing of like, either in yourself or in others, like what is it, Ed, that like blocks us from, makes us shy away from simplicity?
Sometimes I think it's that we don't think that the word is enough.
Mm.
That we don't think that the pure naked word of God without any chasers, without any bells or whistles, I think that underlying, we wouldn't say it consciously, but underlying sometimes we don't think that it's just enough to proclaim what the text proclaims through our personality in the way that the text proclaims it. Somehow or another, we got to add some sauce, some gravy or something, you know, in order to make it do what it need to do.
Yeah. Kevin?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, our conversation, thinking about having to prove ourselves or not prove, like our seminary stuff. I think it's a focus on who we're thinking about. And so simplicity gets ruined when we think about ourselves.
Right.
Right.
What we want to say and what we need to show about ourselves. And we've lost focus on the guy sitting in the back.
Yeah.
Nelson, who just worked steel mill, the graveyard shift, and still walked into church to serve at the AV booth that morning.
Right.
If I'm going to preach simply, I need to preach for him.
Right.
For everybody else that's hearing and not for me.
Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah, I think one of the things that gets in the way of simplicity is, ironically, a lack of time or the wrong use of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we spend this time in study. Some of us have the benefit of being vocational ministers, and we've got time, but we use that time to just stack information.
Yeah.
When we should be essentially lining up some boxes to get clearly from point A to point B in this sermon. But I think that sometimes, I mean, we work with pastors and preachers all the time, and a real downfall, especially like the longer you go in ministry, is that you just don't know what to cut or what to put in the right places.
That's it.
You just have, you know, I always imagine preachers who get up in the pulpit with something like notes, but really all they are is like a compilation of sticky notes, right?
It's yeah.
Like, I got 55 things I want to say about this text that I gleaned from this week. I don't know what the relationship is between them, but that doesn't really matter because I'm just going to rapid fire, like walk through this text or whatever, but just like hit you with like hot takes I've got about this text this week.
So that brings up something. I think another thing that gets in the way of simplicity is inadequate models.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard clear and simple preaching, or if you don't get a regular diet of that,
right,
then you might be tempted to go into your default mode, which you just described, of I'm just gonna dump everything I know. And underneath even all of that is really, I think, an unexamined discipleship model.
Mm.
Is discipleship really just dumping information?
Right.
Now, if you think it's that, then you're going to preach in a certain way. But if a discipleship is a little bit more than that in terms of relationship, in terms of modeling, in terms of experience, all that kind of stuff, then that might inform your preaching a certain way. So to say it a different way, I think one of the ways one of the things that works against simplicity is we haven't been discipled in simplicity as it relates to our preaching.
Yeah. Which, like, to be clear, sometimes a lack of simplicity isn't our fault, right? Like, or isn't wholly our fault, because we've oftentimes, I know I grew up with models that were just like, say more instead of like, say less,
right?
Or say it clearly, say it with like, in a way that people could actually understand. Essentially, it's like, look, put the cookies on the highest shelf that you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because that's what, how we're going to gain maturity.
Yeah.
Right. And if you can't take it, well, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we actually blame the congregation for our lack of effectiveness in the pulpit, because we're always just going like, let's just raise the bar a little bit higher and a little bit higher and a little bit higher, which can really just be a detriment. People are like, you know, I have this happen all the time where people are like, yeah, for the longest time, I thought my pastor was a genius because I didn't know what he was talking about. But we need good models, and we got to, you know, sometimes if you don't have good models, like, you got to be the change you want to see in the world.
That's
right?
True.
But the aim of always like, hey, could somebody who doesn't have my capacity understand what I'm saying
right
in this sermon, which is a profoundly troubling question, because oftentimes the answer is no.
Right.
But you got to work for it.
And remembering, like, Ed's pulling us back to the idea of discipleship here, not just in simplicity, but thinking about the why.
Yeah.
Why are we preaching to begin with?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not merely for education, but transformation. And so I'm just thinking now, like, Colossians 1, Paul talking about his preaching ministry, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ.
See?
Yeah. So if we begin stripping it back to the why are we saying what we're saying from the Bible to them, then we actually are like, okay, I need to help this person. And what can I do to actually help them? How can I say it in a way that will be helpful?
Which is helpful, because it will guard us against simplicity in just being like, I'm just going to use fewer words, or I'm just going to make shorter sermons or something, although we could do well to say fewer words and speak shorter sermons. But Kevin, what you're driving at is simplicity is not only in the vocabulary we use or the amount of material we say, but actually like the logical coherence of our statements. Like, it's simple to actually track the kinds of things that I'm saying, because the relationship between the things that I'm saying actually has some kind of connectivity to it. But it has this very particular end. Like, this why is constantly being answered. The why as far as the logic goes, but also the why of the kind of questioner in the seat who's going like, now, why should I understand what you're saying, but why should I care about what
that's
you're saying?
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
So, okay. Who needs our preaching to be simple? Like, what, when you're thinking about simplicity, you talk about the steel worker or whatever. So somebody who's coming in rather tired, but who else needs, like, who else would benefit from simpler preaching, Ed?
Everybody. And the reason I don't mean that just to, you know, just to sort of short circuit the question. I mean that literally. And the reason I say that is because I can think of times where I've either had like a children's moment within the congregational setting, bring all the children up and just try to explain a principle or text to them, or in other arenas where I've literally been trying to talk to the children, and the adults are the ones who told me that they got the most out of it.
Right.
So every time.
Okay. So
every time.
I should have had this approach all along, as opposed to, I do recognize that there is benefit to having in your mind the different demographics within the church. That's obviously true. But everybody, I think, can benefit from sermons that are more simple in their coherence, their logic, even their word choice and all that type of thing. Because the truth of the matter is that the Word of God literally, the simplest things are the most profound. When Jesus says things like, you must be born again, how simple, I mean, that's like a cornerstone piece, but how simple is that type of thing?
Yeah. Right.
And so I think literally, and I mean this sincerely, I think that, I'll even go this far. I think the further in and the deeper down you go, I think the more education that you have, the you even need it more so.
Right. Hmm. Yep. Because the mark, you know, we say it in here in class all the time, the mark of mastery is not profundity, but clarity and simplicity. Definitely. Right. If you really know, I mean, just think about sushi makers, right? Mm. These guys are experts in their movements and they're expert in their presentation, but they make it look easy, right?
Right.
And it looks so easy that you're like, oh, I could do that. And then you get up there and you try it. And you end up just making something that looks like Play-Doh, right? That nobody wants to eat. And it's just like, that looks like garbage. You're like, what? And you can get frustrated because like, what? But they made it look so easy. Well, yeah, they dedicated their whole lives to it. But they've dedicated their lives towards like, it's beautiful, right? What they're presenting and all this stuff. But like, it's efficient.
Yeah.
Right? It gets a whole lot of work done without trying real hard. Which I think we could do a lot in preaching. Kevin, you know, he's talking about everybody and talking about kids, but like in that affecting all levels. What comes to your mind?
Yeah, I certainly get the children's message thing and have had the same experience. But I would also think that if the preaching moment sets the table for word engagement in the life of a church, then the more people who can walk away with a clear idea because the message was simple, you're actually beginning to foster opportunities for better engagement and conversations the rest of the week around it.
Right.
Because everybody, hopefully, at least had a better chance of getting what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
If you're not simple or clear, one guy's going to think, oh, I think he said that. And the other person is like, oh, no, he was saying that. And it's ships in the night. I especially think of, you know, our church has small groups that are based on the sermon text and preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we gather 4 or 5 days later, if that thing wasn't simple, it's very easy to feel the conversation kind of bear that weight and just be like, man, where do we go from here?
We got to figure it out. Yeah. And I got two groups in mind that could benefit from simplicity that we haven't talked about. The first is unbelievers, right? Like, I'm often asking the question of my students and when I listen to other preaching, does an unbeliever stand a chance of understanding what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Or like the brand new convert, right? Who doesn't know jack about the Bible. And it's like, I don't even know what an Abraham is. And like, you know, is the Exodus a model of car or something? Like, I don't know. Like, what are you talking about? But, and you know, oftentimes unbelievers got to wait around for like 90% of the sermon to hear one thing, which is essentially turn or burn at the end of the sermon. It's like, well, you haven't talked to me thus far, so why would I listen to you now?
Right. Mm.
So even being drawn into the sermon, having the explanation there, and kind of like the kids thing that you're talking about, Ed, one thing that I found is if I'm speaking clearly to unbelievers, like having them in mind, even if I'm not speaking to them directly, but trying to say like, hey, could they pick this up? Then you'll have the mature believers go, look, I've been a Christian my whole life and I never understood
that. That's true.
And you'll see that like you'll actually be helping people. You're also helping, this gets to your point, Kevin, you talked about small groups, but even like evangelistic stuff. And we tell people they need to evangelize all the time. And I'm always thinking, well, preacher, why don't you go first, right? Why don't you do some evangelistic work up there? Not only to do it in this moment, but to train me how to do this the rest of the week. And clarity can really be helpful. The other group I'm thinking of when it comes to simplicity is the preacher himself.
Yep.
I mean, oftentimes, it's like sometimes literally we see preachers do this, but oftentimes metaphorically, but like it's like they're grasping the pulpit just trying to hang on because they can't even like it's not clear in their minds. They're not striving at simplicity. And they're like, I can barely hold on because there's so many things I got to say and I got to keep them in order. You're stumbling along it or it just looks like you're going to fall over. And simplicity isn't just an aid to those poor folks you've got to speak to, but actually to you as the preacher.
That's true.
To help you speak clearly and persuasively, but in a way that's like simple enough for you to hang on to in your own head so you can actually engage the congregation instead of just read the notes that you prepared or something like that, but actually be there for the sake of your people. So, okay, let's close with this. We could go a couple rounds on this. There's lots we could say, but I hear the guy listen to this going like, okay, I get it. Maybe I already knew it coming into this podcast because most preachers know this. Like, I should be more simple in the ways you're talking about. So how is it that a preacher can work on simplicity? How is it that you've been working on simplicity, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm doing the thing that I was afraid to do early in ministry. Early in ministry, I was always worried about having enough words in my sermon to fill the time.
Yeah.
That's not the problem anymore. Now, and I just did an exercise with my interns on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We just spent time cutting words. I said, all right, I want you to cut 50 words in 5 minutes from your first point. Just let's cut it down. What's not necessary? And just begin to, what is not absolutely essential towards making the point, right? Clarity of mind, clarity of expression drives simplicity. Mm-hmm. And so how can we strip this thing down so that simplicity reveals the clarity?
Good.
So I like that. And that's something I've been working on too. This other thing I've been working on, two things. One is on my sermon manuscript, you know, the title to text argument, sermon in a sentence. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to start working on, okay, if somebody asks me, what are you preaching?
Yeah.
Can I give them the sermon? We say sermon in a sentence, but you understand what I'm trying to say. Can I give them the elevator pitch, the elevator speech, whatever you want to call it? Can I just give you a minute worth of the sermon and get the whole thing in?
Right.
And to the extent that I can't, I know, okay, I still need I still need to work on this.
Isn't that what chapel calls like the 3 a.m. test?
Yeah. Right?
If you get a call at 3 a.m. Sunday morning, what are you preaching on today? You got to be able to answer it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, because it's so deeply in you, right? And that you understand like the whole.
Right, and the connections that are being made. So the sermon I preached for Resurrection Sunday, somebody asked me in class, well, what did you preach? And I was able to tell them like, in 15 seconds, okay, here was my argument. Here's the moves I made. This is why I did it that way. And then that let me know, okay, that one was pretty clear. I haven't been able to do that all the time.
Right.
Other thing on a more granular level is word choice, because that's my big problem.
Yeah.
And strangely enough, Manuel Scott, may his memory be a blessing, he told me the day after I accepted my call to preach, he said, learn how to express profound ideas using simple words.
Amen.
He says, watch your diction. And I did not, for the first leg of my journey in preaching, I did not take heed to that because my legal training, I was looking for the exact word.
Right.
You know, the precise word.
Yep.
That, it was the precise word, but nobody understood
the
word. And you would have to get a dictionary afterwards to find out, okay, that did make sense, but in the moment, I lost you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's also important to note right now is that none of what we've said about simplicity has been on the exegesis or theological reflection line. Now, you should be really clear on understanding the text and doing that. But what we're kind of focusing on is thinking about helping ourselves grow in simplicity and delivery and communication.
Right.
Which means we probably need to dedicate more significant time to it, like we do getting clarity in our own exegesis and theological reflection. So that's been one of my biggest helps, is actually just making time in my week to go through purposefully and intentionally on the communication, on the persuasion side.
Right.
So I try to write it really fast and spent a lot of time editing. And that's, I think, added to my own simplicity.
One thing that adds to that is I'm always asking a question, and it's a dangerous question to ask for my own pride, but it's an important question. That question is simply this: do I have to say this? And if the answer is yes, then do I have to say this in this way?
Mm.
And having the disposition within my own soul to probably answer no. Right? Instead of like, well, yeah, I'm just spitting gold onto the page. Of course, like they did take all of this, right?
Right.
But to assume, to have a posture of assumption that I could probably say this in a more simple way, in a more clear way. I could explain the relationship between these points in a simpler way, but always striving to just come in before I even start to go like, dear Lord, help me get simple and help me assume that I'm not. Instead of, I probably, right? Maybe there's a word or two I could change instead of go like, no, actually, everything's on the table. And as I'm thinking about my people, as we've talked about for this week, then how can I serve them? And I'm probably, in whatever I've got written down, however much or however little, I'm probably not serving them well enough.
Mm. That's true.
Because if you don't have that disposition, then you're going to be doubting all of your doubts, right?
Yeah.
But you need to believe all of your doubts at any time. George Saunders is so helpful with this. Every time you're like reading what you've prepared and you get stuck, don't just try harder, change it, right? Mm, yeah. Like, oh, I gotta bury this deeper down in my own soul. It's like, well, maybe you just need to change the wording of it.
Yeah.
Or say something else instead of just go like, oh, let me try real hard. Because we got to remember, the people that are listening to us get exactly one shot to hear what we're saying.
That's right.
Now, you could repeat it, but that's a different thing. But just really aiming at like, oh, these listeners don't get the benefit of 12, 15, 20 hours of study. They get one moment in time to hear what I'm saying. So, preacher, if you're listening to this, strive for simplicity, not dumbing it down, but getting it right for the sake of the people and getting it across in such a way that people can hear you, believe you, and then take it with them for the rest of the week.
For more articles, books, and podcasts, please visit 9marks.org.